Welcome to Spice World, Between Two Dunes, an inebriated exploration of Willis E. McNally's Dune Encyclopedia. My name is Derek.
And my name is Mike. Each month we let you, our faithful Spice Worlders, vote on a topic from the Dune Encyclopedia. And Derek, November?
Yeah. November was a good month.
We're going to Gamond!
I really thought they were going to take the Aurelius and Venport Serva Norma.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just butchered that. Norma Serva. Woo! Glad they didn't, clearly. I'm not ready. But we're going to Gamont. We're going to follow along with little Bene Gesserit's sister. And she wins a vacation of sorts. So this is going to be a fantastic one.
So we went over this like super briefly in our episode, our like deep dive about Gamont.
Did we do a deep dive on Gamont?
Yeah. Oh, my. We're talking about the days of the week?
That's it. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we did. And then I was so sad that it's like, I can't go fully into it. Like, it was going to take too much time.
Right.
That was what really spawned this. But yeah, we had to talk about the days of the week.
Right.
Try it day.
So I forgot good. About try it day.
Do you remember any of the other ones?
Man's Day, Tuesday, Woman's Day, Three's Day, Try it day.
Yeah.
I forgot. Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was Sunday?
I don't think I even remember.
Sunday fun day? I don't know.
It might be something that silly. Like that easy and that silly, yeah. I don't think you had Friday in there either, though, because Thursday would be try it day, right?
Yeah.
Thursday. Yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah. So we're dismissing Sunday.
I got a good memory.
You're doing all right.
So this time, we realized that we didn't have any wine chilled, and we have some wines picked out exclusively for episodes, and instead of getting new wine...
I mean, no, you did start dampening the cloth, and I was like, wait, Mike, hold.
I thought we'd try something else, so we actually went out, we got some beer.
A good old loser IPA. I love it. Simple, elegant.
Mm-hmm. This is actually local. I mean, if you know anything about Portland, Maine, we have a lot of breweries in the area.
We do got our fair share.
Per capita. It's ridiculous. So this one is by Lone Pine Brewing. They're right here in Portland, Maine. And this is a American double IPA called Quantum Cuddle Kitten.
Quantum Cuddle Kitten. That seemed all right for what we're about to double into. Yeah. We're going through some space.
Is that what Baron Sassoff and Gamont for, a Quantum Cuddle Kitten?
Oh, Mike, I'm glad you brought the Baron up. Because, I obviously, before we go in, I want to take up the only quote we have from the book. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the line that came up? It's the Baron, and he says...
the boy from Gamont, the one that looks like Paul O'Shady.
Oh, well, you didn't remember it, but it's coming back. That's exactly it, yeah. He says, I'll be in my sleeping chambers, the Baron said. Bring me that young fellow we bought at Gamont, the one with the lovely eyes. Drug him well. I don't feel like wrestling. And then the later, at the end of the paragraph, is like, yes, like, so the pretty eyes, like Paul's eyes. So much like the young Atreides. That was our only real Gamont line. The other one that stood out to me that I would count as a Gamont line is when Irulan's looking, or when she's spying on that red-headed concubine they send to Shaddam, and she says the neuro enticement. That screams Gamont.
Yeah.
Of like that kind of a training. Anything else you know about Gamont?
Oh, geez, no. I know there's like a Bene Gesserit outpost there.
Yeah.
They've got like a special secret sect.
They do?
Yep. What are they called? Like the lay...
We're gonna run right through that. That's cool. A core part of the story.
Gotcha, perfect.
Yeah, that was the other thing I teased out of this article for you. Other than that, Frank Herbert never really does much with Gamont. Remember I told you there's like an alternate order to the Bene Gesserit that come in later in the series? The Honored Matres.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I was surprised when we did the deep dive of the Bene Gesserit that Matres was used within the order of the Bene Gesserit as, significant to mothers, being the Latin word for mother. And the first planet they conquer, these Honored Matres, when they come back, is Gamont.
Oh, no.
And it's I think that went right over my head. I'm like, yeah, that is why they, because they make that vaginal kung fu and do all that. And it's, I think. It's,
did I miss that?
You certainly must have. It's my favorite thing to say to get you to keep going past God Emperor. But they learn it, I think, from Gamont, or at least they refine it to an incredible degree.
All right.
Oh, come on. Beautiful world. But literally this war and its future. For now, it is still a peaceful, pleasant little hedonistic world.
Mm-hmm.
But I think without further ado, Mike, you ready to jump into this?
So, okay, wait. First off, you give me a script?
Yes.
And
I got some lines. I need some characters from you. I felt it would be more authentic if you didn't know where the story was going, so I have withheld this from you until this point.
Okay.
Do you want to make a disclaimer?
No.
Because I got like six different voices I need you to do on the spot.
Oh, God.
Some are reoccurring, so they better be consistent.
If they are, can you just help remind me what they sound like? Maybe we should just pick like famous celebrities and be like, I can do that.
Ooh, okay. That might get a little weird, but...
really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just wing it.
Yeah, I feel like we'd just be pigeonholing. I want to see just where you go with it.
Okay.
These impressions. It's not too high bar, like nobody's going to remember this, hopefully. All right. So this starts, we get a little report of the planet we're going to, all right?
Ooh, okay.
Gamot, third planet of Niushi. Noted in the Imperium for its hedonistic culture and exotic sexual practices.
Discoveries from the raucous finds about the planet Gamot have been so widely publicized in the popular press that any details given here would be repetitious. Instead, we present not a different picture of Gamot, but the same picture seen from a different point of view. What follows are the relevant parts of portions of a diary discovered in the House Carino records, transferred to Arrakis during the Imperium. All right, that's going to start us off on our heading over here.
Wait, so what was the last thing you said? Oh, I couldn't hear that.
Oh, it was a little redaction. That's so weird. I don't know, Mike. Something about House Carino Records.
Okay.
They get transferred at some point. There's a whole new Imperium in power.
Is there a new emperor?
Oh, they definitely is. Like, we're well past Shaddam when the Raucous Finds get opened up. So, like, the Carinos, they're gone. That's a little news for you.
Okay.
It's been a long...
If it's in their records, it was probably written by Irulan or kept by Irulan.
Well, no. This is literally the diary of Sister Matilda.
Okay.
Maybe Irulan filed it away if you really want to involve her.
I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, so like, it's just telling us like, for some reason, this record was saved. We pulled it all out. We know this was the source of it. So I think this is tracing back to like before the whole Arrakis awakening, the Arrakis crisis.
Okay.
So
you think this is definitely from the past then?
Yeah. And it was just buried in there for some reason. And we're just tracing it back because everyone who's dealing with Arrakis finds, they are historians. So they're just giving you the full, like, this is the path we traced this book and where it came from and to kind of validate it, right? Mm-hmm. So... Without further ado, Mike, let's jump in, because I got our first entry here.
Oh, yeah, please.
And it's on Sapasti. That's the day of the week. I think it's about like a Saturday.
Okay.
And En Odrum 28. So that is En Odrum, that's the month. And it always, En is just going to mean like in, so in the month of. And then each month is named after a famous emperor, except for one month. That month is named after, like, the father of the first emperor.
Okay.
Like, you give him a little credit. So he wasn't just officially a brother, but he was a Carino. So Odrum is, I think, Audrey, Emperor Audrey, which is one of the guys we touched on, I think, in a Harkonnen backstory.
Right. He we went like, through a lot of emperors.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I can't quite, but I think he was, like, put back on the throne. So this is our first entry here, and it's cold and windy again tonight, but the laundry room is always warm. Lots of sisters complain about Wallach's weather, but not me. My job is a blessing. That's I exist only to serve, right?
Yeah.
So that's Sister Matilda. That's our first impression of her.
Perfect.
So she's works in the laundry room. It must be rainy, and it seems like Wallach is just England. It's just rainy and muggy all the time and probably kind of miserable. Mm-hmm. But, hey, she digs it. So the next night is Sanastil. And this is the 29th of the month.
All right.
And we go, entertainment tonight. A very special dinner in honor of His Grace, Duke Philippos from Gallatin, and his wife, a great lady, you could tell. Gallatin, I believe, was one of the Atreides worlds.
Oh, like a minor house?
Yeah, before Caladan was the world that they gave to, like, the lower-ranking one who wasn't, like, the Duke.
Okay.
It was like one of the counts or cousins who just wanted to like get away and be an academic.
Okay. Okay.
So Philippos is like the head of the house currently. But I believe these are the Atreides.
Philippos. Don't we know Philippos?
That was one of the Atreides.
Is that the one that built the castle?
Ooh, it's a stretch. I don't think so. Okay. Oh, you know what? I think he is the one that moved there. But it must be a different relation, or at least a Philippos, because the names get used. Remember, Paul is going to be Paulos the like 19th or something when he finally gets to like. There's a lot of multiples that we use in the Dune Encyclopedia.
Is that how you make a regular name a space name? You just add os to the end of it.
I bet you just reach into the bag and you pull out two vowels from like a Scrabble bag. And you just get whatever you get. work them in there. Becomes a space name. Like I said, so these people show up, and I like how it's a great lady. You can tell. I'm just like, okay. And after supper in the great hall, his musicians played and our choir sang. And that was very nice. But then I almost died. His grace introduced his mentat, a fine-looking man, but tunic not pressed, Mike. Not well-pressed.
Oh.
Wrinkles. and asked him to very kindly favor us with a demonstration. Well, the mentat looked right at me and asked me what I did. So I told him I was the head laundress. Then he wrote something down on a piece of paper, and he asked me to ask him any question that I wanted. Well, I didn't know why, but the first thing that popped into my head, and I said, how many stars are in the Lyre Nebula? Then he passed the, that's going to be my little old bitty voice.
I like it.
So,
oh, is the answer already on the paper?
Oh, well, yeah. So then he passed the note to the Reverend Mother. Yeah. And asked her to read it aloud. And she did. And it said, the number of stars in the Lyre Nebula is, and then some big number. Well, that didn't go over too well. I mean, there was some polite applause, but mentats after all.
She seems embarrassed.
I like Matilda. She's very conservative.
That's a very good mentat, though.
Right?
Yeah. I don't see Thufir doing that kind of thing.
Well, you don't think there is some tomfoolery afoot?
Yeah. Oh.
Because the mic.
Some stage magic?
The next day. It's the 30th now. I think I figured it out, what that mentat did. When I went to work this morning, I picked up the soapbox, and right on the back of it was a big ad for a contest. Name the stars. And it said how many stars are in the Lyre Nebula. And if you fill it out, you win a prize if you're right. And then I remembered that the mentat asked me what I did first, before anything. I still have his paper as a souvenir. I gotta send it in, serve him right. So, the mentat, knowing she was in the laundry room, knew this ad was there, and just knows what's going to be on her mind. So a little bit of, I mean, we're giving some credence here, but that's like mentalist magic, so to speak.
So he just, all right, so wait, all right. So Matilda is the head laundress of this.
We're debunking the magic trick right now, okay. Right? That is what we're doing?
Okay, yeah.
I just want to make sure. Okay. I'm down for this.
I'm just establishing the facts there.
Yeah.
So Matilda is the head laundress of this duke?
No, Wallach Nine's, the chapter house on Wallach Nine.
Okay.
She's a sister. She's been the head laundress for 40 years, we're going to find out.
Okay. And why is there a mentat here?
So the mentat has come with Duke Philippos. Okay. They're being hosted for some reason at Wallach Nine. Probably something to do with the breeding program, Mike.
Oh, that would make sense.
So the sisters are hosting them. He presents his mentat as sort of like a sideshow. Like, look how smart.
How does the mentat notice? Did he go through every single room there?
I mean, apparently.
He would have had to.
He definitely at least went to the laundry room for some reason. No, I'll give you, it's a stretch. But yes, that is apparently what happened. Or at least that's what, maybe in the mentat just is magic. And then this is like a 90-year-old woman, Mike, just going around. She could be crazy. She could be losing it. But yeah, and then I think the mentat just tricked her a little bit. But she's going to send that flyer in. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that's going to work out?
So she's doing it out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to, like, oh, that'll show him.
Yep. Yeah, I don't see that either. Yep. Okay. You take this.
Oh, Matilda.
Well, so we were in Enodrum. It was about the 30th of the month at that point.
Okay, yeah.
It takes to the 15th of next month until we get our next dire entry. So we've had some time.
Okay.
But let me dive in with, I won!
I can't believe it. The Mentat was right, and I want a 2-week, all-expense-paid trip to Gamont, planet of pleasure. Whatever that is.
Whatever that is. Oh, no.
Yeah, so Matilda is stoked. She's going to Gamont. My 2-week trip. So the next entry is the next day. She has to go tell the Reverend Mother, like, hey, I need to have some time off, lady. Right. I got a vacation plan. And it goes, well, I went to see Mother Caius today, and it was very strange indeed. Said no. Said, Sister Matilda, the trip would be too strenuous for a woman of your years. My years? I said, I'm only 57. I've been doing laundry for 40 years, and the chief laundress for the last 8. You can't be all that weak if you can do that. Then I told her just how much wash there was to be toted around. So apparently Mother Caius pushes back a little bit on this.
You really don't want to do this.
Yeah, I love that it's too strenuous for one of your years. Like, you're not quite getting it, but I don't want to tell you. And this entry ends with this paragraph of, I promised to take Sister Bertha with me. So Mother said we could keep an eye on one another. Then she said something about innocence being the best protection and sent me off.
No.
So Sister Bertha is clearly going to be here to be your buffer. Like,
a degree of separation.
Yeah, well, I think we're trying to keep the blinders on Sister Matilda here because she's so innocent. She doesn't question anything. She has no idea where she's going, Mike.
Bertha's just like, oh, Matilda, look at this.
Exactly. Yeah, over here, the gift shop. So that was on the 16th. We go to the 25th of the month, so another, like, right. 11 days go by.
Right.
And I've been so busy, I've really neglected my diary. A lot to catch up on. First, I'm writing this from Gamont, which is a very odd place.
They're already there.
We're already there. We got off the ship. There was a wire fence between us and a line marked Departures. And over on the other side were some Sadakars for Salvation playing music and handing out pamphlets and passing the tambour.
Did they ring a little bell?
I think it's the collection plate, Mike.
Okay.
Not like a tambourine.
Ding, ding. Sadakar just a Santa.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, they are not allowed to make contact with the arrivals because of this is a hedonist planet, Mike. Right. They're here to save your soul on the way out. Now,
it's a very interesting starter car.
There's no other mention of them in any part of Dune. It's only in the encyclopedia. So a great part of, like, the Dune wiki was just like, and we don't know how these relate to the actual Sadakar because there's no mention. So make up whatever you want. But there are, like, some Mormon Sadakar.
Apparently. Like,
killing's fine, but sex should only between a husband and a wife.
All the Sadakar are wearing, like, white collar shirts and, like, black ties, but their muscles are, like, bulging out of them, tearing them. Like, sleeves are missing from some of them.
Super jacked. I love it. I like how we just can't get Sadakars the right size clothes. No matter what they do, they're always too buff. You just always underestimate them.
So wait a second. She just said, I've been so busy, I couldn't write in my journal. I'm writing from Gamont. So this was almost 2 weeks that went by. What do you do on a guild highliner in between worlds that's taking up all of your time? And she's not doing laundry on there.
Well, you don't know that.
You think she is?
I think it's hard to break some habits, Mike. Maybe she's busting out everyone. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. I'm like, she might have just been so unimpressed by how it came out of the ship, like auto wash or something. Like,
this will never do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just a literary device to skip over. But speculation wise, I think she did everybody's laundry. out of spite. I think it's Matilda. That's Matilda's MO.
Did
right
we
now.
Ever learn this Mentat's name?
No.
So we never know, like, what to call him. But,
no, I mean, Frank does have some oversight of the encyclopedia. He has name. Take that out. We don't do names.
We don't do names here.
This is Doom.
I think we need to give that Mentat a name.
All right. What you got? A good space name?
Well, I think one of our space worlders.
Ooh. Okay.
We got a couple. Got a couple to choose from.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't get everybody on board the Highliner. Or, I'm sorry, on board the Ampaleros when we left
dude,
dock.
I don't remember who we had then.
I remember who was
on the
poop
deck. How about Mentat Hop?
Mentat Hop.
Mentat Hop. Damn you, Hop! I'm going to go to Gamount just to spite you.
You clever bastard. Excellent. Well, we pass through these Sadokar. It continues on. I was going to give them a donation and get some religious reading for the quiet times. But apparently the law allows them only to talk to persons going home, not one coming in.
Oh, so they literally are trying to be like, you sin, let us save your soul.
There's a fence, Mike. Oh, man. Like, they are physically stopped. And love, she just wanted the pamphlet.
Do you think she tried it anyways and just, like, toss some Solari over the fence?
And, excuse me, pardon me. And they're, like, looking away from her. Like, we are legally, we're going to have to leave if we talk to you, lady. Keep moving. Then we went outside and people were singing and natives were putting strings of beads around everyone's necks.
Oh, it's Mardi Gras.
The beads are to pay for things on Gamont. You just pop one off and use it like money. A pretty little boy came running over to me and Bertha and said,
Oh, that's me. Are you from Wallach, sisters Matilda and Bertha?
We said yes. And he winked and handed us two brown envelopes. We looked inside. Goodness, the necklaces must have been 200 beads on them. Later, a man said,
Hey, you're Bene Gesserit.
And we said, Oh, that's right. How did you know? He said,
The BGs always get their beads in plain envelopes.
I don't think I'll ever spend all my beads. I mean, how much can one person eat and drink? God. Maybe souvenirs for the sisters in the laundry.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, let alone
200 beads. Like, what's the value of one bead? Whatever you want.
I don't know. Yeah, I assume it's pretty lucrative.
It just got a 1-to-1 value on beads.
And it seems like so the Bene Gesserit get like what does that be? I can't think of the word. Like an allowance, so to speak.
Oh, just
like,
whenever they go.
Yeah, like give a stipend for this business trip. That's actually going to be more what it is. Because, you know what, we have sisters with a master's in business management. So we're going to do stipends across the way.
Yeah.
This is petty cash. We're pulling it out of the drawer. But isn't it weird that people know? And like that man was like, I want to talk to these ladies. You're Bene Gesserit. Mm-hmm. Something's up here, Mike. Now, we get to a normal day. Tuesday. And so we're on the 26th. So I think just 1 day has passed since that entry. So we don't know how long they were on the planet for, since she was so busy, it took her to get caught up. But right. Presumably she sort of just filled that kind of in. And she tells him, like, I'm exhausted. I woke up when it was still dark because I could hear someone breathing in my bed with me.
What?
And I thought, poor Bertha, she must be homesick. And I said, now, Bertha. And I turned the light on. But no, it wasn't Bertha, but a very handsome young man with a mustache. And I said, young man, get out of my bed immediately. And I thought, some hotel make a mistake like that. Well, I guess I woke Bertha up too. And she screamed because there was a man in her bed. And my young man said,
But I am your guide to pleasures of Gamont.
Huh. And I said it was too dark to see anything on Gamont. Then I called the manager and I got things straightened out. She's becoming a Karen right now.
She is.
He said, Ahmed and Paul would be available in the morning to take us sightseeing. I think this vacation is going to be more of a strain than the spring cleaning wash.
Do you think that's an idiom she uses a lot?
I think it's an idiom she uses every year. You don't, especially come springtime, you just hear this out her mouth the whole way. This continues on. I certainly learned things about Gamont when it got light. I thought it was for vacations, like the seaside on Kestrel, where my parents used to take me. And people would build sandcastles and swim and eat ices in the evening. Gamont is not like that. The whole place is divided into what they call little worlds. You go inside one, and you can pretend you are someone in the past or future. And they do all sorts of unusual things. We got in a carriage drawn by a thorse.
A thorse? What is a thorse?
It's just a horse in
horse
space.
Horse god of thunder?
Yeah, like, right. Damn. That would be the better description. It's just a space horse. I don't
know. Like thunder.
I don't know why the word got longer. But we picked up a T along the way.
A carriage drawn by a horse, an out-met-him pole started to show us the sights. First, we went to Eden. There was a woman dressed up like a snake at the entrance who wanted us to check our clothing and pick a costume from the rack. On the rack marked Adams, there were all these leaves of different sizes, but fake ones, cotton, because she's a laundress, she knows.
She can spot that a mile away.
But they were all marked extra large. There were different brands, too. KG, Conan, Stud. Though what kind of a tree a stud is, I can't say. No! Like a Conan leaf. Yeah. Very, very like early 60s, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, I certainly wasn't going to get undressed, so we didn't go into Eden. I asked Ahmed if there was a seashore we could go to, and he said sure. And we drove off again. We came to a world called Nantucket and decided to have lunch before going to the beach.
What's new, a beachy from Nantucket?
Oh, God, that's probably what they were going for. There was a restaurant called The Flipping Frog. Food was all right. There was entertainment, too. A man and a woman sang a very funny but sometimes puzzling song. It's what I remember from the beginning.
Who's that knocking on my door? Who's that knocking on my door? Who's that knocking on my door? Said the fair young maiden. And so it's like a call response song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the call, and what's the response?
That's for the part I'm about to do.
Oh, okay.
The Barnacle Bill.
Gotcha.
So, you know me still, I'm Barnacle Bill of the Wreckers Royal Navy. And here I stand, come from beneath the sand with the Wreckers Royal Navy.
That's good.
All right.
So,
and I'm like, that is actually based off of a real, like, it's a Navy song.
Okay.
It goes back ages. The earliest one I think I've came across was 1927. And it's the song of Barnacle Bill. I think, let me get the actual name. Barnacle Bill the Sailor.
Barnacle Bill the Sailor.
There's a lot of versions of it. The one from 1927, it gets awful. And like,
wait,
it's
what? How?
It's basically the sailor comes ashore. He's asking for this girl. She's like, no, you can't stay here. Go away.
Okay.
And like, no, you can sleep on the floor. And he's like, well, no. And each response for him is like, well, I can't fuck that. And
she's like, Jesus Christ. Well,
you can sleep on the couch. He's like, can't fuck the couch.
I'm
like,
no.
Well, you can sleep beside me. He's like, I can't fuck your side.
And oh like, my God.
It gets so graphic.
No.
It's really raunchy. And then there are other versions, though. So once we actually started recording it, The BBC was not going to let that go. It's a lot of British sailors doing this. They clean it up a lot. And, okay. There are other versions of it. I think we have one called Barnacle Bill the Sailor we can post on our Instagram.
Okay.
I encourage people to seek them out, though. But I think this is Frank appreciating because he was in the Navy. Like, he would have known this. He might have sung this very song.
Navy or Army?
Navy.
He was the Navy.
Right. Yeah. It was the I think I called it the sea bees. It was the worker bees.
It was the sea bees. Construction builders.
Yeah. Yeah. Within the Navy. Yeah. A little thing. And it was only for a little bit. And then when he got out, his first, I think it was Brian, is his oldest. His first kid was born, though, when he got out of the Navy, which is really cool. It's a couple of months after.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of versions of it. And I like that they do this little twist of it now. But now, yeah, the Wreckers Royal Navy.
I was going to say, this definitely seems superimposed with, like, Dune stuff.
Dune stuff, yep.
So what's the Wreckers Royal Navy? There's an apostrophe before the R. Does Arrakis have a navy?
This gives us an interesting point for where this actually occurs in time-wise. The planet will eventually be called Wreckers, but I do believe this is saying
Arrakis.
It will become, like, thousands and thousands.
They rename the planet?
I mean, we drop an A. like, do we really rename a planet, Mike?
We just get lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wreckers.
Well, Thorse became such a cumbersome word.
So, wait. But wait, okay, so no, you've used the term Wreckers before, and I'm asked, does it relate to Wreckers? And it's always been like, yeah, a little bit. So is it actually just Wreckers in a different time period?
Yes.
That makes so much more sense.
Does it?
A little bit.
Okay.
You threw me for a loop.
Sure. I tried to.
So wait, so this is going to be in the future then? So there's no way this happened in the past?
No. The Wreckers Horde is in the future.
The apostrophe here still leaves us a little ambiguous. Like, why would you put the apostrophe if it wasn't a raucous? And it wasn't supposed to be like a vernacular, you know, just showing you how to speak it in the, like, a vernacular text.
I don't think Arrakis has a royal navy.
Oh, Michael. Don't act like you know the whole future. Arrakis most certainly will have a royal navy one day.
But not now, is my
not
point.
Not now, not now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's not happening that
it's not. It hasn't happened yet.
So, Matilda hasn't even been born yet, presumably.
Yeah, I don't think so. Oh, you know what? It'd be like two.
She could be like two?
If we got
little
like,
baby Matilda, we got like, yeah, yeah.
I'm giving you like a 50-year window before there's a Arrakis royal navy, but okay, any chance. Okay. I like it though. But so that was cool. I'm glad we got to do a little song here. I hope you go to town on that. Like, make that sing in this podcast.
I'll try doing something, man. we'll have the song going in the background. What's going on?
Well, so this Matilda continues on. So the girl, she keeps on to the article, kind of describing the next verses that come up in the song.
Yeah.
So we don't forget where we left off in this, because like that guy was busting and be like, yeah. "I'm with the Arrakis Royal Navy." And I like how they've come from beneath the sand. I'm like,
yeah.
They just like bust up in a flurry and they're here, and it's like a whole troop of people. I brought the whole navy. We don't have boats though, because we're in the desert. So the girl told him to wipe his feet upon. But there must have been 100 verses, and our food came, and I don't remember the rest. Afterwards, we went to the beach. Bertha and I had a good time waiting and enjoying the sun. Abed and Paul played cards. Oh, I almost forgot. Gamot has 7 days in its week. They're called Fun Day, Man Day, Tuesday, Woman Day, Threes Day, Try It Day, and Saturday.
I was right. It was Fun Day.
It was Fun Day.
It was Fun Day.
When the couple was singing, Bertha almost choked. She was laughing so hard and her face got so red. I asked her what was wrong and she said,
"We didn't Gamont do as the Gamontians do."
So I'm dating my diary different. While we're here, it'll be a nice memento.
There you go.
Now, at this point, Matilda now starts dating her diary with the days of the week that are relevant to Gamont. So we start, we're now on Woman Day. It's the 27th of the month. Oh, I had a scare today. We went to Harem World and lost Bertha. Hold on, Harem World and lost Bertha.
Harem World.
Harem World. Yeah, right. She's going to have a stroke. We put costumes on, pretty things, but sheer, my goodness, you can see right through them. Little sheer pink top, full gathered pantaloon thing, pretty gold belt. Hand wash, I guess, in cold weather.
I know his goes.
You know what, though? Consummate expert ever trained. Yeah. Like, she has proven she's done this 40 years. She's always remarking on the fabric. But anyway, I think Bertha's getting upset by the excitement or something. I kept my underwear on when I put the costume on, but Bertha didn't. And I started to scold her, but she gave me that "went on Gamont" business again.
Do the Gamontians do?
Bertha's down to clown.
I like Bertha. Bertha's down.
She's got commando. She's all like sheer right now. Well, we went into the palace, and it was beautiful, I must say that for it, but a little gaudy. Soft music and water splashing in fountains and men and women lolling around in little dark alcoves. Two huge men in turbans took us to reclining harem chairs. And I guess I went to sleep.
She just fell asleep. She just took a nap.
In Harem World.
This is exhausting. You never fall asleep in Harem World. Gotta keep one eye open all the time.
I imagine those like two big guys are also fanning you, and they're just like, "This is not how I expected my day going." I'm just like, a sleeping old woman. You're just keeping cool. So, when I woke up, Bertha was gone.
Oh,
I yelled for Ahmed and Paul, and they came running.
Oh, they have names for them.
Hold on. Yeah. Ahmed and Paul, they came running from somewhere, pulling their clothes on. I guess they were napping too. So we looked for Bertha through long, dark hallways with men in turbans in front of the doors.
They wouldn't let me in, so I just called out at each door we came to. Then we came to a door that said, Sultan's Chamber. And it was open, and inside there was Bertha, stark naked, sitting on a big red velvet puffing cushion thing. I told the boys to shut their eyes, and I went in. Bertha just kept grinning and saying,
"The Sultan chose me! The Sultan chose me!"
I got her dressed, and the boys helped me take her back to the hotel. I told Paul to stay in the room with her all day tomorrow and make sure she stays quiet and rested. Oh, Matilda, you sweet young thing. Mike, how's your trip to Gamont going so far?
It's good. Matilda's making this worthwhile.
She's the perfect lady to win this trip. So, the next day goes by. We're now on Threesday. It's the 28th of the month. After yesterday's scare and today's shock, I know I'll live forever because if they didn't kill me, nothing will. There is a Bene Gesserit house on Gamont. Why didn't Mother Caius tell me?
Oh.
I think I know. Ahmed was driving me in the carriage to the streets, and I was looking at the places, Old Plantation, Gay Paré, when I saw a little shop called Verhefwes. Now that is German for we have ways, which I didn't know, but I put Verhefwes, and it was like, this is what you're trying to say, if we have ways in German dialect. I was like, oh, that's a great name for a sex shop, we have ways.
Oh my God.
So, and I told Ahmed, stop. I'd been wanting to get some souvenirs for the sisters at home. And this was a leather goods store with beautiful belts and boots in the windows. Now, did you ever watch Arrested Development?
No.
There was a great bit. So it's David Cross is sort of like this closeted. He's very homosexual, but he never is actually gay. But he makes all these very questionable phrases. Right, and at one point, he's trying to connect with his daughter. She's very into leather right then. So he wants to go get a leather jacket to like match her. So he goes to the shop and he's like looking around and he's like, yes, I'm looking for somebody that says like, I'm a daddy who likes leather. And the guy's like, oh, do you mean leather daddy? And so he ends up with like,
oh, that's his
like chains and like leathers and cab. It's so good. Like, oh, that's perfect. Leather daddy. He would be, like, the best companion for Matilda on this trip. So, we've gone into now. We've seen that there are beautiful belts and boots in the window. Not much of a selection, though. Everything was black. Besides, there were too many buckles and straps and things. They even had whips. Though why anyone would want to whip a sweet, gentle creature like a Thoris, I don't know.
Like a Thoris.
Like a Thoris. Anyway, there I was in front of the store when I saw the Bene Gesserit emblem on the house on the corner. I couldn't believe my eyes, but I was so happy I went right to the door and knocked. A little sister opened the door, but she seemed surprised to see me. She said,
"They usually send younger ones."
Then she shook her head and said,
"No accounting for taste."
And she led me into the parlor, and all over the walls of the parlor there were pictures of women. Well, I won't try to describe them, but let me tell you, I recognize some. There was that nice, young, and smart Helen Mahayam. And it's beyond me why she would let them take a picture of her sunbathing. The head of the house, I will not call her mother, came in, her face all painted and her eyelashes all long and black with some stuff on them. She says,
"You are not one of my girls. Who are you?"
I'm glad you went stereotypical Russian madame on that. That was very, I feel bad now.
I mean, just imagine like a long, like, cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Like, that dress, it's cut along at the leg. Even though she's older, she's got good legs.
Oh, yeah.
Striking figure. Mm. No, I said, "I'm Sister Matilda, the head laundress from Wallet, come to see your house. Who are you?" And she said,
"I am the procuratrix. Are you a lay sister?"
"Certainly not. I am a regularly professed sister and have been for 40 years. And what I'd like to know is a lay sister."
Oh, think of it as a little joke.
And then she began the most garbled and incredible story I've ever heard. It seems there are three kinds of sisters. The regular ones that live in the chapter houses. and some that go into the world to marry and have families. Well, I knew that. But then there are others, the lay sisters, some joke whose job is to infiltrate the great houses and let the sisterhood know what's going on. Aren't the women sent to the courts regular sisters, I asked?
Well, they are, in a manner of speaking. You know.
I don't, I said.
Well, put it this way. They serve as concubines and sometimes even wives. They come here to Gamont to learn the best ways of pleasing themselves and their royal lovers.
Maxine, that was her name, wanted to give me some brandy, but I'd never drink anything in that place. I went back to the carriage and straight to the hotel. Bertha was gone again, but I thought she's on her own this time. I packed my things.
No!
And Bertha came back with Paul, and I said, I'm leaving. But she said,
we have so many beads left.
There were 200 per bead. Or for her necklace.
It's still like 190 on there.
And so Matilda goes, do as you please, but tomorrow I'm going. That's how her diary entry ends. So she's got her last wits with Gamont, right?
Wait, that's the last diary entry?
No, I got one more.
Oh, okay.
Because Mike, it's a whole new world.
Is that a car on the way out?
Oh, Matilda's got bigger backbone than that, Mike. Why don't you take a drink of beer here? You got to get ready for this.
Okay, okay.
So this one starts with try it day. Crossed out.
Oh, no.
We're done with that, apparently. Then it says Philisty. That's the normal day of the week in the imperial calendar.
Gotcha.
Also crossed out.
What?
Then it says Matilda's day. And then what? It gives me the month, and we're on the 29th day of the month. When I checked out this morning, I sat in the lobby. I didn't know where to go. I don't care about Eden or the plantation or Harem World, but I don't want to go back to Wallach either. I'm not young, I know, but I'm not stupid, and I'm not sneaky either. There are things I can do and do well, and that ought to be enough for anybody. I won't use other people because I wouldn't want them to use me, and I won't be a part of anything that does. I know what my duty is. I need to tell the Emperor just what is going on here.
Oh, no. Oh my God, no, why?
We got big picture by his mic. We're going to expose, come on. The Emperor just hasn't heard of this.
This is a big scoop.
Surely he wouldn't let this happen.
She's just doing her duty, though.
She goes on, then it's his problem and I'll wash my hands of the matter. I'll just pass this off to the Emperor of the known universe. Paul and Ahmed are here. They flipped a coin. They said that's a local custom. And Ahmed is my guide today. I don't think either of them want to be her guide anymore. So, this diary goes in an envelope to the Imperial Mail, and I'll have Ahmed take it there. Then I'll take my bags and go ask for a job at one of the other places I saw. With my experience, I know there'll be something for me to do at Suds and Bubbles. That's how Matilda, that's her Suds last entry. Suds and Bubbles. You think it's a laundry shop? Because I don't.
Oh my God.
That brings us to our conclusion to a glorious trip to Gamont.
Oh, that was something else there.
Wasn't that fun?
I enjoyed that.
Even with like all the little bits we had dug into before, it was great to walk through that with just like Matilda.
Harem World.
Harem World. Eden World. Exercise Conan.
Didn't they say something about a plantation in that last bit?
Old Plantation was another one of the.
Was that
like,
another world that
another,
we missed?
It was another shop.
Oh,
you know what? No, maybe it would be a world because she does line it up with, Eden, the old plantation, or Harem World. So they must all three because Eden was a world.
Right.
So
right.
Old Plantation must be. But yeah, the shops, the halfways.
The halfways. So it's literally spelled out the way someone would like V-E say it in a German, like
H A F.
Oh my space God.
V A Y S.
I was gonna say like you said like, and that's that in German. Like I don't think it is.
No, yeah, but like phonetic German in English. Yeah, I thought it was just perfect. That's so funny. Poor Matilda. And then I like how she stays. She sent off her expose, and we never know what's happened to her. Clearly, so, yeah, it doesn't work.
So she left Bertha on Gamon.
Well, I mean, clearly, she had already had her split with Bertha. Bertha was not her there to help her. Bertha wanted to stand
Gamon forever. Bertha loved Gamon.
Bertha had a great trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Sultan chose her, Mike. Sultan chose her.
That's true.
That is so good. There's another part that follows a good deep dive in the encyclopedia, Mike.
Oh.
We get to holler back to a lost cause.
Oh, could it be the glossary game?
It's not quite gurney, 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 but it does its fix.
It's nostalgic.
It is. It is. I think I've done better at it since we've stopped it.
Yeah, so. since the pressure was off, you've been able to really hone in here. I've got a cool one here that I found. And now that we're only doing one word each time, like...
Were we ever doing more than one?
Yeah, we were doing two each week.
Oh, damn.
So now we were only doing one. I'm able to sort of like, I've got a little bit more leeway.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes. I don't know where we're going to find it in the book. Baklava.
Surely you meant baklava.
Baklava. When I first read it, I'm just like, is that baklava? I think it's baklava. No.
Frank.
It's baklava.
Baklava.
So it's B-A-K-L-A-W-A.
All one word?
All one word.
Ooh, okay. So I definitely don't know this one off the top of my head. This is a Fremen word. It would scream to me. And obviously, I'm pretty sure I know that I did know, but now I'm like, is it like Baka the Weeper?
Baka is the Weeper.
Okay, so we're in that kind of area. You say Baklava?
Baklava.
So I want to tie it to him in some way, right? I'm stretching for that. That seems like that has to be a bridge that's mm-hmm. there. And we're getting so deep into the Fremen territory at this point. I need to get this one right. Can you give me one clue for old time's sake? So I forgot there were two words. I do remember me getting a clue back in the day.
Yeah. I recall. your clue for this week, or this month, I guess.
Whoa.
Oh, man, it's a hard one. I guess... it's something heavy.
It's bigger than a bread box.
That you need to... Honestly, this one, you just got to go with your instinct and your gut feeling on this.
Wait. It sounded like you were about to give me a second part, but then you bailed on it.
I can't give you anything more.
Okay. So it's heavy, but you have to go with your instinct on this. All right. Okay. You would cry over, the loss of something. So, baklava. I'm going to say, and I know this is, reaching for it. Yeah, I there are two angles I want to go for, a loss of water or, a death of someone. So, if it's the weeper, it seems like it's something tragic. I really don't know what I'm going for. So, let me, yeah.
Just trust your instinct. First thought.
But I know this isn't a Dune thing. I'm like, it's when you lost water. But that's definitely not a thing. I would remember that one. I got to keep fighting, Mike. Hold on. Baklava.
I think the longer and harder you think about it, the further away you're going to get from the right answer on this.
Yeah. So I'm backing it entirely. I'm saying it's a desert thing. And it's going to be maybe kind of like a sink well. Maybe this is like water trapped in the desert. I got fucking nothing.
All right. Well, you said it was probably a desert thing, which would have been correct if you added an extra S to that. So a baklava is a heavy pastry made with date syrup.
Damn. Yeah.
The dessert thing.
Woo. Nowhere close.
Go with your first thought, baklava.
I think it's literally
supposed to be the space equivalent of it.
Except
I think baklava isn't made with date syrup specifically.
That's your hang-up?
Well, no, it's not made with dates. I mean, it's made with a lot of nuts and stuff, but
it's usually
made with a honey syrup.
Yeah. But yeah, still, I think that seems dead on.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm just like, that's kind of dumb, but I'll see if Derek gets it.
That probably tastes fucking great. With spice, with cinnamon?
So it's like, oh, yeah, it tastes
cinnamon,
great.
Cinnamon, honey,
it tastes awesome.
Is cinnamon and, no, baklava is chocolate and pastry, right?
No, I mean, it's a flaky pastry, but it's made with a bunch of nuts and honey.
Okay. Oh, shit. Is there not chocolate involved in baklava?
I mean, I'm sure you could add chocolate to it.
But it's not like a normal
shape. It's not like a normal
thing. Okay, no. I'm totally, I think I'm thinking of a different food entirely than what baklava is. But I do remember, obviously, because you and I worked at that same shop and we made like a baklava gelato and stuff.
Ooh, I've got a definition of this.
Of what?
Baklava. Okay. A rich sweet dessert pastry made with layers of phyllo filled with chopped nuts and sweetened and held together with syrup.
Hey, generalized syrup. I like it.
Yeah.
I was really expecting you to come back with a German accent when you cleared your throat there. I
didn't know. I can clear my throat and go, it's a rich it is a German dessert pastry made with layers of phyllo.
It makes more sense to me now.
It was chopped nuts.
Okay. Now you're just being offensive.
This cuddle kitten's pretty strong, actually.
I'm ready to cuddle with a kitten when I get home. You know who's waiting for me, Mike? Shadow Mapes. My little Shadow Mapes.
So I think timeline, this is definitely after this book that Sister Matilda
goes
on her trip.
It most certainly is. I would say, I'm gonna break out of this and go, it's like right between Children and God Emperor, I think we're sliding in. Somewhere right in there. But I love this idea of that, switching out of the Carino household and that we're coming out of their archives. And at the end of the book, we get how it got in the Carino archives.
Oh?
She mailed it to the Emperor.
Oh, God, you're right.
She mailed it
to the Emperor. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, it's in the archives. He looked at it, it's like, what? No. Just like tosses it.
Do you think he never made
it to him?
No. I think Amentet, like assistant, like four levels down from the Emperor, like saw this. It was like, put it in the book. Like,
wouldn't it be funny if somehow, like, it was that same Mentat that she was trying to spite that, like, opened it up? It's like,
Well, we attributed him to the Atreides.
That's true.
Yeah, maybe he transferred. That would be kind of great. And just like, and like, puts it away, or just like, what have I done?
Oh, Mentat Hop.
Mentat Hop, you fool!
Mentat Hop.
Oh, but I think that kind of brings us to an end for this week or for this month.
Yeah,
it's always switching me off. Yeah,
episodes. I'm very confused. Yeah, I mean, if you made it this far, you know where to find us.
Mm-hmm.
Spice World Pod, every place. You can also direct message us here on Patreon, and we'll get back to you on anything you want.
Yep, feel free to send us a distrans via Giovanni, you guys. That's true. It always works.
That adorable little bat.
And remember, guys, without you, the spice can't flow.
Oh, that's not a satisfying sound.
No, it's not. You're gonna fully effect that in.
Give me a glass over there.
Do you not want to do that?
Do I do the whole thing?
It's a lyric. Sorry. That one was like Barnacle Bill.
The fair. Wait. Oh, Jesus. All right. So.
Mike, time it again. Don't worry. Throw a clap in that bad boy.
Okay.
Pop a beer open. You give me the full jingle, because I'm going to come in with a Nergimer still a Barnacle Beer, and I'm with the Rockets Royal Navy, and here I stand, coming from beneath the sand with the Rockets Royal Navy.
What the